Thank you, Paul. Hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. Looking at that tree fossilising the rock, that was quite cool, wasn't it? So my responsibility here is to speak for the message of the Bible. So we've looked at science and the Bible, and Paul has been iterating about we believe the Bible. This book, it, we believe, is God's word to us. And the whole Bible is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in some way or another. So as we started off, we looked at the flood, and we looked at Adam and Eve, and we've looked at throughout Scripture, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned, not in name, but looking forward to it. So tonight I want to look at a verse in Romans, which is written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this book to a church in Rome. And it's in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And it says this, I'll read it nice and clear. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'll read that again because this is a very powerful verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This verse is a very powerful verse in the Bible. It encapsulates the gospel. Perhaps you've heard of something about the gospel. Perhaps you've come from a church and it's good to see you. But this is an incredible verse which tells the gospel nice and clearly. So I want to break down this passage into the wages of sin. I want to look at the gift of God and what it is and who it is. And then how we can obtain this gift, which is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that first passage, the wages of sin is death. Like I iterated, perhaps you do go to a church, or perhaps you don't. Perhaps you've heard of this word sin. This word sin is just the things that we do wrong. Or it could be the things that are good, but we don't do. This word sin, perhaps it's not used as much as it used to be. But it's a sin. It is among us every single day. I don't have to tell you that there's wrong in this world. There's things that are going wrong all over the world. And this is a result of sin. Because when God created the earth, as we listened earlier, when God created the earth, he created it to be perfect. He created the Garden of Eden, as we saw that illustration with the lion and the lamb, peace together. We had the beautiful water. We had the flowing hills. And what was it for? It was for God, and to share it with man and women. So he created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, they enjoyed this garden because there was no sin. It was perfect. Because God was dwelling with man. He was in communion with man and woman. But there was one day, perhaps you've heard of the story, where Adam and Eve, they took of that fruit. Because God said, you can eat of anything. You can eat of any fruit on any tree apart from the tree of good and evil. And yet they disobeyed. How often do we disobey God? And they disobeyed and took of that fruit. And because of that, every single generation had sin in it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, David writes, in sin did my mother conceive me. In iniquity, my mother conceived me. We've all got this sinful nature. We all have this ability where we do wrong. And just like in a court, if we're found guilty, which the Bible says, all have sinned. We cannot escape that. We have all sinned, the Bible says. And as we iterate tonight, we believe the Bible. And it says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. It even says, just before this passage, in chapter 3, it says, the whole world is found guilty before God. We've all been found guilty. How many sins have you done today? How many sins have I done today? how many wrong thoughts, any wrong that I have done. This is just in one day. Think of a lifetime. I'm 22 tomorrow. That's 22 years of sin. And the wages of sin, as it says here, is death. The payment, the judgment of our sin is death. As the diagram shows, we're both on, as we start life, we're on the broad way, which leadeth to death and destruction. Because just in a court, when we're found guilty, there is punishment. And if I left that there, that would be a sad ending to the day. The day when there'll be judgment for the wrong things that we have done. But that word that just twists it. The wages of sin is death. But throughout the Bible, there's these great buts of the Bible. If you look at John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But. So I've told you how that we're all sinners. Every single one of us in this room, in this university, in this world, we're all guilty. And one day, there'll be a judgment for that, death and hell. And yet there's this word, but. The gift of God. Tomorrow I might receive some gifts. Stuff that perhaps I don't deserve, but I've been given to it. And I'm not expected to pay for it. I hope not. But it's a gift. And it is from, not from me, not from Paul, not from any of us, but it's from God. So the one that we have disobeyed, the one that is our judge, has given us a gift. He's lifting it and giving it to you. The gift from God. Because the sin has separated us, man and God. But it's a gift. God has come to you. In Colossians chapter 1, it says how he came to reconcile us. He's come to us by his blood. He's come to us to give us this gift. This gift from God. Which is eternal life. Now, perhaps you'd like the idea of having eternal life. You're going to live forever. But it's not meaning that. It means that we're going to be forever with God. That communion is going to be brought back together. We can be reconciled to God forever and ever in heaven with him, where there's no crying, there's no pain, there's no sin no longer. We'll be happy and in communion with God who created us. And this gift is open for you today. It's open for you. This gift is from God, who created you, knows all the wrong that you have done, and I have done, and yet he has come to you and is offering this gift. Do you like gifts? There's a gift for you today. You don't deserve it, but he's given it to you. So how do we obtain this gift that God has given us? Well, as the final passage says, through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because this gift isn't because we have done well. It's not because we've been to church every single week. It's not because I've given so much amount of money to charity. It's not because we've got a first in our degree. But it's a gift. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 says that it's only through the blood of his cross. He has reconciled us. You who were sometime alienated, sometime afar off from God, he has reconciled through the blood of his cross. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he came around 2,000 years ago and he's lived here for around 33 years. He did good. He did miracles. He preached the gospel of God. He told men to repent. And yet he died on the cross of Calvary. Not for anything that he had done, because that was the whole purpose he came. In fact, this was told thousands of years before he came to the earth. In Genesis in chapter 3, 4, we read about Adam and Eve. And we read that God said to the serpent, who was the Satan in the form of a serpent, that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of him. The seed of the woman. It was even prophesied that he was going to be of a virgin, because he was from a virgin birth, which we can't comprehend, but only God could do that. A virgin birth. And he was to come to be a gift for you and for me. He died on that cross of Calvary, and for 3 hours there was darkness, where the judgment, which was deserved for us, was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He had done nothing wrong. He could do nothing wrong. He cannot do anything wrong. And yet he paid that punishment in those 3 hours of darkness. The wrath of God, which would have been ours, was laid on him, who was the Son of God. It was laid on him in those 3 hours of darkness. And at the end of that, he cried, "It is finished." And in that cry, he had completed the work. That meant that the gift was for you. That forgiveness of sins, your sins and my sins, could be washed away. That reconciling of God and man could be brought back together only through him and that death on the cross. And after he cried that "it is finished," he died. And yet that is not the end of it. After this, he was taken down and laid in a tomb. And a big stone was rolled across it, and the seal of Caesar was placed, of Pilate was laid upon it, so that no one could move it. And yet 3 days later, perhaps you know the story, where Mary Magdalene and Mary and a lot of Marys came to see the tomb. And they found that it had rolled away, this massive stone, which historical people have said that it's on a hill and it had rolled down, so you can't push it back up again. But this stone had moved away, because the Lord Jesus Christ had risen. He not only died, but to prove that he was God, he rose again from the dead. Because he was God. And to prove that he had power over death, he rose again. And after 40 days, he mingled with the disciples and others, and it says up to 500 people at the same time. So there was this was not an illusion. This was God manifest in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And after 40 days, he went up and rose up into heaven. And as he went up into heaven, angels came down, two angels, and they said, in like manner, he will come again. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't come again yet, but it says in the Bible, a little while, and he that shall come, will not tarry. That phrase, a little, in the Greek, it's just, oh, how little. That little time, which is running out very fast. That little time when he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Because when he does come to the air, he'll come to take those that are true believers, those that have taken that gift and had their sins forgiven and on their way to heaven. And he'll take them up to the air and take them to heaven. You know, if that was tonight, would you be there? If that was tonight, would you be in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ, going to heaven? Have you had your sins forgiven? Not only that, but we do not know what the day may bring forth. In fact, my little sister, on Wednesday, she turned around and handed a girl her pen. She borrowed it, handed it back at the lesson. That night, she was in an accident. The Thursday, she was in a coma. The Friday morning, she died. That hit my sister hard. It hits me hard, and I never even knew her. But that young life of a 16-year-old, taken in a moment. You know, there's a story that goes of a man who was writing his will as he was aging. And he wrote down his will, and as he came to all his property, he was giving it to this person and this person. His young daughter didn't understand why he was doing this. And she said to him, "Do you have a place, like a house or somewhere to go to in the place you're going to?" And that hit him hard. Do you have a place? If you died tonight, would you have a place in the place that you're going to? Because the wages of sin is death. There's a judgment that is coming that is due for all of us unless we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a Philippian jailer in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. After there's a huge earthquake in a prison and all the doors fly open, and in fear, in trepidation of seeing all these, of thinking of seeing all these prisoners escaping, and because they would escape, he would get executed. In fear, he came to Paul and Silas, who he'd heard sing hymns and joy. He came to them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved from the judgment of my sin?" And the answer, those 2,000 years ago, is the same for you tonight. It is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Just believe. That gift which is for you is for the taking. The forgiveness of sins is for you. But have you done it? There are many here who meet at those at Coventry at Upper Hill Street Gospel Hall. You're very welcome to come along. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you? Because time is running out. Death awaits. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air. I just hope that tonight you just might remember these words written by Paul over 2,000 years ago that said, "For the wages of sin is death. But, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who did it out of love for you. He did it out of love for every one of us." I pray that you will not reject this offer that is out for you today, that Christ died for you and for me.